All right, guys, so we are in lesson 21, and our focus today is going to be on the priority of love. So we're going to look at chapter 13, which is probably, you would say, is a very familiar passage of Scripture, because a lot of times 1 Corinthians 13 is read at weddings, okay? And so it's not a wedding passage, so to speak. So even though it's read at weddings, don't make it a wedding passage. It deals with this issue of spiritual gifts. And so the truths would be applicable as far as if you want to read it during a wedding, but it has to do with the issue of spiritual gifts. And so we're going to focus in on chapter 13, but in order to understand why he's going to say what he's saying, we have to go back to verse 31 of chapter 12. So we're going to look at chapter 12, the second part, of verse 31 through verse 13 of chapter 13. So let's first of all look at verse 31 of chapter 12. And he begins by saying, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. So he's saying, seek out your spiritual gifts, okay? But then notice this is the next part, and this is where we're going to, this is basically an introduction to chapter 13. And I will show you a still more excellent way. So he's saying, seek out the gifts, okay? Because we talked about gifts last week, okay? But I'm going to show you a more excellent way. So here's what I want you to see, okay? Paul focuses on something that is more important than spiritual gifts. There's got to be something more important than you exercising your gifts. And that's where we get into chapter 13. He's going to talk, first of all, here about the emptiness of ritual. Okay? So listen to what he says in verses 1 through 3. Okay? Verses 1 through 3. He said, if I speak in the tongues of men, and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I've gained nothing. So what's he talking about here, George? Well, he's going to talk about the emptiness of ritual, okay? The emptiness of ritual. And what I want you to see here is, here's what he's saying. Words spoken without love are empty. Words spoken without love. Now, we're talking about within a congregation, within a church. Do you understand? So he's saying two things here. He said, if I speak in the tongues of men. Now, this is not saying, well, he does speak in the tongues of men, but next he says, and of angels. It's not saying that he speaks in the tongues of angels. Some people would say, oh, well, there he is. He's talking about, yes, that's not his point here. His point isn't, well, if I could do that, but if I don't have love as the motivating, guiding thing for why I do, I don't have anything. I'm just a sounding box. I'm just a bunch of noise. Do you know what I'm saying? And I think you and I understand that, right? Because sometimes, you know, you can hear people talk, and you immediately say, yeah, that's fine, you're saying all that, but you really don't care. Do you know what I'm saying? You really don't care, and because you don't care, what you're saying is meaningless. He's saying the same thing here. You can have this wonderful gift of being an orator, of talking like men, or even talking, quote, in this language of angels. Words spoken without love are empty. Here, spiritual knowledge without love is empty. So here he's even saying, okay, you take somebody who says, well, you know, I have prophetic powers. Now, what he means by prophetic powers is that he's talking about I have the ability to have God speak to me and tell you the word of God, okay? That's what he's talking about. And in their day, that was very important because all they had was the Old Testament scripture, and they may not even have that in their congregation, and so they needed to encourage the people, and someone would say, I have a word from the Lord. You know, I may have these prophetic powers, and I may understand all mysteries. What kind of mysteries? Spiritual mysteries. And I have knowledge. And I have faith that I can remove mountains. Remember Jesus said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can tell that mountain uproot itself and it'll be cast. He said, if I do have all of that, but I don't have love, it's what? I'm actually nothing. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm actually nothing. It doesn't matter what you think you know or how much you do. If you're not motivated by love, you're nothing. You're meaningless, okay? It's meaningless, and that's the point he wants you to see here. And then one final area, dynamic faith without love is meaningless. You know, if I give away all that I have, so let's say you feel like I'm going to give away all my assets and everything. Great. If I give up my body to be burned, that's you're willing to die. You're willing to be a martyr. Wonderful. But if you don't have love, what is it? Nothing. It's empty. You know what I'm saying? I gain nothing. Acts of mercy without love are meaningless. Sacrifice without love, that's meaningless too. Now, notice he says three things here. So when he talks about that he is, he's just a noise box if he doesn't have love. He talks about if he knowledge and his superior gifts of understanding and being able to remove mountains. He says, I'm nothing there. And then he says, you know what? You can give away all that you have. You can even be a martyr, but you don't gain anything. Because the motivation has to be love. Love. And so that's why he talks about love in verses 4 through 7. Here's what he says. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's quite a list, isn't it? Now, we can break this list down into several different things that I want you to see here. Three different things about the essence of love. And three words that will describe it. First of all, it's inward. Love expresses itself inwardly in our attitudes. So love has to be, first of all, an inward thing. So when you look at what it's saying there in verses 4 through 7, things like patience, yes, that's expressed outward, but where does patience first begin? With your attitude, right? Do you know what I'm saying? With your attitude. So, okay, so think with me for a moment. I'm going to have to get my oil changed here probably in the next couple of weeks, and so I'm going to take it to the dealership, quote, that has our warranty or whatever, to get the oil change to the tire rotation. And sometimes, you know, they'll say, okay, it'll be ready for you, Mr. Cannon, in this amount of time. Well, you know, sometimes I'm sitting there, and it's like an hour past the time. And I'm just sitting in the waiting room, listening to their whatever music, scrolled through my phone 100 times already, and I'm looking at the same stuff over and over again. And I'm starting to get within me impatient. Now, it's not been expressed outwardly yet, okay? But where does it start? It starts inwardly. Do you understand? So love starts inwardly. Do you understand? So the essence of love, first of all, is expressed inwardly in who you are. Here's the other one. Love expresses itself in our actions towards others. So it's not just inward, because inward ultimately expresses itself, right? It has to become then outward in our actions. You know what Jesus was saying? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaks. know what I'm saying? You just don't say stupid stuff because it's got to come from somewhere. And you don't say harsh things to a clerk or to somebody. It starts inward, right? And so then it comes outward. Love is expressed outward. He's saying the essence of love expresses itself in actions towards others. And then finally, love expresses itself in our walk with God. It expresses itself upward. So it's inward, outward, and it's upward. That's the essence of love here. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you see love, it starts with me inward, it goes outward, it's upward. And that's the thing that should be motivating us and driving us. In fact, Paul's trying to get you to understand it's the most important point. So let me give you an example. Have you ever had somebody do this? Years ago, I know 20 years ago, took part in some kind of survey this week with pastors, and they were asking me, do you use spiritual gift tests? No, we don't. Okay, so I told them no. There's a reason why, because sometimes spiritual gifts tests will empower people. So especially if, I'll give you one, if they mark off and it's now they've identified their spiritual gifts as prophecy. Now prophecy is the telling forth of truth. Now what I've seen with some people is then they use that as the billy club. Okay, what do you mean? Danny, I love you, but I'm just going to tell you like it is, because my gift is prophecy. And so they use it as an excuse to just, boom, beat him up. And so he's feeling terrible. Now, have you seen that kind of thing before? Yeah, in church, yeah. Where's the love in that? Is there love in that? No, because I'm doing my thing. And in fact, if you go to them, and I've done this, hey, do you know, you were pretty hard on him. What do you think? Oh, but I was just telling him like it is. He needs to be told. No, he needs to be lovingly told. You know what I'm saying? Not just say it like it is. See, exercising your gifts is wonderful, but if you don't have love, it really means nothing. Do you understand what I'm saying? It really means nothing. Anybody got a thought or a question so far before we move on here? Okay? Love has to be the essence. Okay, Tim? You're making, well, and so when you say it's my spiritual gift, you're making an excuse for yourself. You're just exercising your own, let's say, sinfulness. Did you understand what I'm saying? What were you thinking, Gene?
Like, if you do stuff like that, then you don't have any, like, compassion or empathy in your life either.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. All right. What were you going to say, Danny? Okay, I understand that. But here's what I would say. So let's say, and you and I are good friends.
Yeah,
okay,
all right.
Yeah, but here's what I'm saying, though. But there is a point with everybody, Danny. So if I come to you and I want to talk to you, it's a question of whether I bring a fire hose or a water pistol.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay? Because if I'm going to bring something out, if I bring the water pistol, the guy who says he's a prophet who doesn't have love, he's just going to turn it on and blow you away. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you also, okay, well, wait a minute now. You know that I'm going to deal with you in a loving way because you've witnessed that in my life. But, hey, let's be honest. Don't we have people in our lives? What's that? Well, okay, yeah, but there are some people who don't have a heart, and they're brutal. And do you understand what I'm saying? And they make excuses for themselves. And we need to, it's not that saying something is wrong. Don't get me wrong. We're supposed, if you're doing wrong, I'm supposed to go to you. Yeah, and deal with it. In fact, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. We want to talk about we've kind of got off into the issue of talking to people. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Here's what Paul says about a brother who's taken in sin. Okay? And see if this doesn't match up with what we're talking about here as far as dealing with people in love. He said, brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. So if I see somebody who's in sin, I'm not just going and blowing him away with my gospel gun. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm going to deal with him. I'm going to seek to restore him. Now, when we talk about restore, what am I restoring him back to? A relationship with Jesus.